in every distress. I call upon you, God. I know that you hear me. My cry comes before you.
Your good. Magnify you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our mighty God, our great warrior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, that you are greater than the greatest, you're bigger than the biggest, you're stronger than the strongest, you are the mighty God of war. And we thank you that you're the God who delivers us. You deliver us from the snare of the enemy. And you deliver unto us your goodness, your mercies, your loving kindness. Thank you, Father, for grace. Thank you, Father, for your eternal love. Thank you, Father, that you remember us, you have chosen us, and you are doing great and mighty things in our lives. We do not know what the answers are. We know that you have all the answers. When we do not know what the real question is, you know what the real question is. You know the what. You know the whens. You know the whos. You know the whys. And Lord, we trust you for everything from the beginning to the end. Our trust is in you. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome you all to the house of the Lord this beautiful evening. It's almost November and the weather is cooperating really well. I hope I didn't speak too soon. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, this evening I want to continue with the word of the Lord that we were sharing this morning about God who delivers. God delivers. Hallelujah. It's encouraging to know that. I'll take up the word, starting from the passage of scripture that we started with this morning. I'm not going to rehearse what we talked about this morning. I'll encourage you to go and get the CD or listen online, whichever way. But just get the message to you in tune with us and in line, and we are all together. Psalm 34 and verse 19. That's where we started out this morning. And I want to start us from there this evening. Psalm 34 and verse 19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. The out of them all is the many afflictions. No matter how many they are, he delivers us from them all. Hallelujah. That is encouraging. It didn't say he will deliver us from 60% of it, 80, 70, 90, 99%, 99.9. He says he will deliver us from them all. In other words, there is not an affliction that's going to come against me as a righteous, gifted with the gift of righteousness. That righteousness is not of my doing, it is of his doing. Hallelujah. For the word of God tells us that we should put on Christ. Hallelujah. We should put on the new man, which is created already in true holiness. Praise God. It is something that God has given to me and given to you, and therefore we must embrace it. God can call you righteous, but if you don't call yourself righteous, you will not be what God says you are. You are only what you say according to the word of the Lord. Amen? I am righteous not because of what I did or did not do, but because of who I belong to, the one that I belong to, the one that I'm dressed with. I have shed or cast away the old man, which is defeated, and I've put on the new man. Praise the Lord. And because of that, God's promise to me is that he delivers me from every affliction. If I do not put on righteousness, then I cannot blame God. Are there people who are believers that are taken out, defeated? Yeah. But it's not because God's word did not work. It's because they did not acknowledge and receive by faith what God said. And understand that people speak from both sides of their mouth. They might say something just to be, you know, pleasing and look faithful, but on the inside, they don't believe what they are saying. Jesus, our Lord, taught us. He said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you what say. So you can say all you want with your mouth, I am righteous, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But if you don't believe it in your heart, it will not work. I may have heard you say it, but it's not what I heard you say that matters. It's what is being broadcasted in the realm of the Spirit that matters. And what is broadcasted in the realm of the Spirit comes from the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will what? Speak. So if your heart is full with doubt and unbelief and confusion, but meanwhile you're talking, you know, faith, positive thinking, that's all it is, positive thinking. It's not faith. Faith and positive thinking are two different things. You can be positive all you want, but if you don't have faith, there is no relevance in the realm of the Spirit. God delivers him, the righteous, who believes that he's righteous, from every affliction. How? Because he does not buy into the condemnation of the enemy. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, or walk after the Word of God, the following the Word of God. The Word of God says, be imitators of me, as I'm of Christ. And it says, be imitators of God as children are of their Father. Praise the Lord. Now, the 20th verse is very interesting. It says, he keepeth all his what? Bones. Not one of them is broken. Now, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is a messianic proclamation. But this statement is also about you. Because what it's saying is, okay, I am standing here right now, and the reason I am standing this tall is because I have bones. My bones give me structure. Praise God. If this bone is broken, then it's going to be like this. But if my bone is not broken, my structure is what? Intact. And so the Word of God says, hear this. The afflictions may be many. God delivers me from them all, and he keeps my structure together. When your structure is not together, you are jello. You're vibrating all over the place. God wants your structure together. Hallelujah. And that's what he's promised. There might be problems, there might be issues, but you are going to be together. I'm not going to allow your structure, that which keeps you, to be broken. Keep it all his bones. Not one of them, not even the pinky, is broken. Everything together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the commitment of God to you and I. No matter what, when the storm is over, you'll still be standing. When the dust settles, you'll still be standing. When the storm is over, you'll still be standing. Who is this person? It's a person who's planted in the house of the Lord. It's like the palm tree. When the storm comes and hits on the palm tree, unlike most other trees, the palm tree just bends and it bounces back. When you and I are planted in him, in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the Lord, doesn't matter. What is the agenda of the enemy? This morning we talked about how one of the key intentional plans of the enemy is to get you away from the house of the Lord. this house and this house. He wants to get you out of the house of the Lord. But when you embrace the word of God, it doesn't matter. You run to God, not away from God. You run to Him. David was given options. What do you want? You know, you want me to throw you into the hands of men so that men can deal with you, or you want to fall into the hands of God? David, the man after God's heart, says, I'd rather fall into the hands of God. because in Him I will find mercy. Man, they'll finish you up. So your best bet in life is to run to God. In the height of the issues that you face, run to God. When it doesn't look like that's the safest place, I assure you, that's your safest place. Any day, any time, your safety is in God. Don't allow the enemy's accusation to get you away from God. When the enemy accuses you, rightly or wrongly, run to God. For in Him, you'll find grace, you'll find mercy, you'll find goodness. So many times I remember the story of Abel and Cain. Cain had just killed his brother. God had pronounced a judgment on the case. And Cain cries out to God and says, God, this punishment is too big for me. And God's response was, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me? You want me to increase the punishment? No. God's response was, you know what? I think you're right. I think you're right. You know what? If anybody tries to do what I just said they should do, I'm going to go after them. God, the guy just killed his brother. You're going to protect him? Yeah, because I can't help myself. When God commits to you, He's committed. He says, I'm married to the backslider. What kind of God is this? The God who does not want a divorce. He hates it. And He says, listen, I'm going to stand with you and I'm going to see you through this. Hallelujah. Not a bone broken. The enemy came and thought, I'm going to ruin your business. Your business is not going to exist anymore. And God says, ha, not a bone. I'm going to destroy your marriage. Not a bone. I'm going to destroy your health. Not a bone. Is going to be broken. Because I am your deliverer. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. That's remarkable. Because what the Word of God just said, if God is true, and He is, because He's not a liar, is that He will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to handle. Remember, speaking a word of counsel, and I've done so many times before, to somebody who was going through a horrendous situation. And I said to them, wow, what you're going through is great. God must think greatly about you. Person, what are you talking about? I said, because this problem that you are facing, God says he will not allow you to deal with anything that is bigger than you can handle. God must have so much faith in you to allow this to happen to you. Yeah. Have you considered my son, Job? Well, it was for his protection, but the very fact that God allowed whatever it is that happened to Job to happen to him was because God had great faith in Job that Job will choose righteously. Whatever it is that you're going through, you're going through because God believes you can handle it. So don't disappoint him by thinking you cannot, because you are making God a liar then. So, Pastor, you don't know how big this problem is. I may not know. I'm not going through it. I'm not wearing your moccasins. I don't know what you're going through. But this I do know. That the sun is still out there. The moon is still out there. The stars are in place. The sky is not collapsing. The ground hasn't opened up. Everything is still the way it is. And as long as there is a heaven and there is an earth, it must mean that God is still in charge and everything is still in his hands. And it will not be so if he lied. It will all fall apart because it is his integrity that puts and keeps everything together. So when I'm going through a rough time, I must remind myself, he is still on the throne. And cry out to him as we read this morning and say, God, make haste and deliver me. Make haste. Paul cries out. He says, he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with, someone say, will with the temptation. He will provide a way of escape with the temptation. The temptation is there, but with it comes the answer. My God. You mean in this trouble that I'm going through right now, there is an answer? Yes. What is that answer? A way to escape. So that what? So that you may be able to bear it. So that you can handle it. Father, show me that way of escape. Well, Jesus already tells us that he is the way. And it's not a complicated name. It's just Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not like, you know, some difficult Nigerian name. or some Russian or Polish name. You can't spell it. This name is not spelled in a way that you cannot understand. You can say the name. You can cry out that name. And it's a name that is above every other name. And to that name, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that that name is a name of lordship. His name is what?
Jesus.
There was a man who was blind who remembered that name. And they told him to shut up. But the more they told him to shut up, the louder he cried out, the name, the name, the name, the name, the name, the name. He is the way, the truth, and life. Cry out that name, Jesus! Hallelujah. That is the name of your deliverer. That is the name of your Messiah. Blessed be his holy name forever. Hallelujah. The word of God says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he what? Trusted in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Huh? Everlasting strength. What does that mean? It means that you will outlast the problem. You've got strength. And you come through to the other side. Why? You humble yourself before the Lord. And he will lift you up. Praise God. What is that humility? The humility is you understanding that he, the only true and all-wise God, all-powerful, everywhere present, knows better than you do, even though you think you do know what you think he should do. He knows better. You know, one of the things that we do, and it's not that it is wrong, is that we tell God what to do based on our perspective. But the best way to deal with issues, when you've got issues, is not tell God what to do or how to do it, but cast the problem over to him and let him do it. He knows exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it. He knows. Just trust him. Just trust. Trust him to have your back. In a world where you cannot trust anybody to have your back, trust God to have your back. Trust God to fight your battles for you. You know, too many times we pray particular things, but that's not the way of the Lord. It is a way, but not the way. God is like man. God is like husbands. They don't like to be told too many things. Tell me what the problem is. Let me go solve it. Don't micro instruct me. And the men said, amen. When you micro instruct a man and tell him this, you got to do it this way, this is how you do the dishes, this is how you sweep, this is how you everything, you're just creating problems because you unmanning him. Yes, that's my new word, emasculating. You're making him feel less, and you are creating a major problem. And that's what happens many times with our relationship with God. We ungod God by telling God. Now, the word of God also says, according to the works of my hand, command ye me. Yes, it does say that. It does say that. But based on the works of his hand, what is that? His word. Release my word, what I said, not what you think. Release my word, and that's how you're going to get my hand to move on your behalf. Stop telling me how I should do it. God, you have to do it like this. And you know what God will do? It's just like John 11. Jesus, come back here. And Jesus stays where he was. Until it all hit the fan, the milk is all spilled, and the eggs are all scrambled, the man is all dead. And then he says, okay, let's go. That's a husband for you. When it's all messed up, that's when he wants to move. Just chill. Why am I talking about this? Anyway, it must be for somebody. God will bring you out of your destruction. Don't micromanage God. He's in charge. You are not. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. When you start to be whatever, he will bring you down. Why? Just to bring you down? No, so that he can bring you up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him, not on the problem. If your mind is stayed on him and you look away from the trouble and you look to God, he says he will keep you in perfect peace. Because you trust in him. Peter is invited to come raise a dead woman, Dorcas. And the Bible says he looks away from her. The woman is over there, he looks over here. And when he was strengthened with that everlasting strength, he turns around and he speaks to the woman and raises the woman from the dead. Jesus said about Lazarus, he sleepeth. Don't give power to the problem. Reduce it to a biteable size. And you will know deliverance because of that grace of God. Amen? The Word of God says, In Psalm 34, Psalm 34 and verse 7, let's take it from verse 4. 34 and verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. I sought God and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Praise the Lord. Because they looked to the Lord, it says they were not ashamed. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Praise the Lord. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And I like this verse 8. It says, if you've not experienced this, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. God, I don't know what to do with my exam. This test is so difficult. Remember the word of the Lord, that you have the mind of Christ. Father, this exam is so difficult, but I have your mind. And you will unravel this problem for me and give me understanding. I will never again have to face this difficulty because I have an understanding that is from above. And I receive this understanding to resolve this question. And when I'm done with it, my teachers are going to say, wow, how did you come about this? You came up with ideas here that is beyond what I taught you. Your application is perfect. I just learned something from you. A plus, 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 plus. From, oh, I don't know what to do, you are right on top. Because you know you have the mind of Christ. It's not a slow mind. I'm amazed at how we shortchange ourselves as believers, thinking we cannot this, we cannot that, but at the same time we say, I can do all things. How can you do all things and you cannot this and you cannot that? The language of the child of God is the language of faith. The one who says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is in that position where he understands that the strength of the Lord is an everlasting strength. God doesn't need recharge. He doesn't run dry and you have to plug him in and charge him again. He's more than enough. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When this whole planet is dissolved, God will still be God. Because it's, I like it, but we need something new. He'll roll it off. That's the God you and I serve. That's the God you and I serve. More than enough. Hallelujah. no temptation that comes your way is new. The devil is very limited. He's not that creative. He brings temptations like refried beans. Just recycling situations. And God says, we've seen this before. It's common. We've seen this before. Come through this door. Go through here. Go through there. You're out of it. I can't tell you how many times that I thought, oh, there's no way we're going to get out of this one. And then we're on the other side of it. And it was like it never happened. It's like it never happened. But yesterday, it was the end of the world. And today, we're on the other side of it. How did this happen? The grace and the mercy of God. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. There is no want. Why? Because he is your shepherd. And a good shepherd will die for his sheep. He doesn't run away. He's not a hireling. He's engaged. Hallelujah. He's engaged. Again, I want to say, I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what you may go through. But this I do know, God is our deliverer. Don't forget that. So begin to sing songs of deliverance. Begin to celebrate because God is the God who delivers. Those that will sing songs of deliverance. Amen. Psalm 37. I still will not finish. I can see that. Psalm 37, verse 39 and 40. Actually, let's do verse 1 first, and then we'll go to 39. Psalm 37 and verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit your way unto him, the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Your desires. What's your desire? God, deliver me. He says, just trust me, I'll do it. Speak, I will do it. Verse 37, or 39 rather. It says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their what? Strength in the time of trouble. Do you see that word popping out again and again? Strength, 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 strength. Yeah. Strength is not the same thing as power. Strength is your ability to sustain. This is a sheet of paper. It's very light. Its weight is not going to increase. It's the same. But holding it like this for another hour, and this light paper becomes as heavy as a house to me. Nothing changed there. The issue is the issue of strength. If my strength is everlasting, it will stay just as light. Power. Strength. Sustained power. And God says, I'm going to give you everlasting strength. Hallelujah. Strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because why? They trust in Him. We had an RCMP officer here this morning, and he talked to us about trust. Trust. That's what God wants you to have. Just trust me. Just trust me. And I'll go get you through. Hallelujah. In Psalm 50, verse 14. Psalm 15, verse 14. He says, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows. What is that going to result? He says, when you offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows unto the Most High, he says, then you'll be able to call on God in the day of trouble. He says, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. When should you do the thanksgiving and the vows? Before the trouble. Before the trouble. Have a life of thanksgiving and a life of honoring your commitments to God. Now, when we talk about vows, understand, are you with me? How many of you believe that God lives in me? How many of you believe God lives in you? Okay. So when you make a vow to God, we can understand. I made a vow to God, I'm going to do this. But we don't think that when we make a commitment to a fellow man, that we made a vow. If I say to you, I'm going to give you $20, it doesn't matter whatever issue I'm facing, I have to honor that word I give to you. Because my word is my bond, and my word is my vow. When you make a vow, you are demonstrating the impetus of commitment. I made a commitment. May cost me everything, but I made a commitment. Well, the person does not deserve the commitment anymore. That's not the issue. The issue is you gave your word. They don't deserve it anymore. You gave your word. Honor your word. Stay true to it. What are you demonstrating by that? When you call on God, God says, I'll respond. Because just like you demonstrated commitment, I will demonstrate commitment towards you. Hello? Same thing like you forgive, I forgive you. The way you forgive is the way I'm going to forgive you. You show shabbiness, you show inefficiency, you show whatever, anyhow, any which way, that's the same thing I'm going to do for you, any which way. Because you sow, you reap according to what? You sow. It's a life principle. That's why you must not just give your word. Every word that you speak out of your mouth must be a word that you mean. Don't say things to people that you don't mean. Don't say to somebody, I'm going to be there at 8 a.m. and you know you're never going to show up. Not at 8 a.m., 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 p.m. You're not going to show up. You know it inside of your heart. Just say something so I can get out of this. Oh. Do you know you're cooking yourself up? If you don't mean it, don't say it. If you're not going to be there, don't say it. If you're not going to give, don't say it. Don't make a commitment that you are not committed to honor. It goes like this sometimes. And I've seen too many people get themselves into financial problems this way. When I have the money, I'm going to do such and such and such and such and such. When I have $20,000, I'm going to do this. And they forget that $20,000 may not come in one buck. But as soon as you made that commitment, when I have $20,000, I'm going to do such and such, that's the very moment you start putting that $20,000 together in place, not when you get it. That makes sense? As soon as you give your word, you start working towards that word. Don't say something that you don't mean. Because when you call on the day of trouble, there will be no deliverance. But when you come with thanksgiving and you honor God with your vows, when you call upon the Lord in the day of trouble, he says, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked, God said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? You declaring my promises. Or that thou should take my covenant in thy mouth. Seeing that you hate instruction and casted my words behind thee. You're not committed to my word. Why are you even saying anything? Seeing thou hatest instruction and casted my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil and thy tongue frameth deceit. Deception. Deliverance does not come that way. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying God delivers, but there are parameters. There are things that you can do that can sabotage the help that God is bringing. You've got to do with due diligence, make certain God helping us to stay true. Be truthful with the word, with your actions, and you for fact would know the deliverance of the Lord. Amen? There's so much to share, so much to say. But let me wrap up. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. I'll take it from verse 4. It says, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child. Don't say that. Because you're going to go to all that I shall send you. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So don't say I'm a child. You're going to go to the people that I send you to, and you're going to speak what I say. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Lord. Don't be afraid of their faces. I am with you to deliver you. Then what did God do? He says, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Remember what he said previous. What he said is, I'm going to deliver you. And the conduit through which this deliverance is going to take place is, I'm going to touch your mouth. In other words, what you say, don't say. Don't say this. But say this. Because I am going to send you forth. And you are going to impact nations. You're going to say what I have for you to say. See, by the putting of my hand on your mouth, so that you can say what I say, what I am sending into your spirit, the thoughts that I'm having you to think. See, this day I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and to build, and to plant. They're all things that you're going to do, Jeremiah. Then it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? Go and touch your mouth. Now I want you to tell me what you see. What seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. You've seen an almond tree. Why is that important? Because the almond tree is a declaration of one who is chosen. Aaron is being attacked, Moses is being attacked, and they're telling him, you think you are all that, you're not all that, we are just as good as you are, and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And God says, Now, let every tribe be represented. Bring your rods. And they brought the rods and the place, and they had their names, the tribe that they were representing. And they brought it to Moses, and Moses takes it into the inner court where the Ark of the Covenant was, placed it in that dark room, left, came back the next morning. When he comes back the next morning, he begins to hand out the rods to each family. And lo and behold, Aaron's rod had budded. And what rod was it? What tree was it? It was the almond. It bore fruit. And what is God saying? God's saying, listen, I have authorized you. I touched your mouth. See the impact of what I have done for you. I have this day chosen you and authorized you. I'm going to be with you, and you're going to be delivered. And the end result of that story is that all of the enemies of Moses and Aaron that day, all of them were buried alive. God made a demarcation, and God is making a demarcation with you, and he's saying to you today, your enemy is my enemy. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. Whoever comes against you to curse you, I will curse. I'm going to stand with you. I am your deliverer. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't allow the circumstances and the troubles around you to define you. That's right. Don't allow those things to define you. Be defined by my word. I breathe into you my word. I strengthened you with everlasting strength. I will not allow you to be tempted beyond that which you're able to bear. And I will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed on me. If you acknowledge me in all of your ways, I will direct your path. I say to you that those that trust in me shall not have want of anything. Why? Because I am your good shepherd. I will be your helper. I will be your keeper. I will be your sustainer. I will be the one who upholds you with my right hand of righteousness. You will outlast every problem that comes your way. You are an overcomer. Greater is me in you than he that's in the world. They are all outside. I'm on the inside. And because I'm on the inside of you, I will give you inside intelligence. Hallelujah. I will reveal to you what they are planning before they plan it. Before they think it, I will tell you what it is. Amen. Have that mindset. And I tell you, child of God, the storm may come, but you will remain standing, because the promise is, I will not let your bones to crack. They will not break. That's a commitment. Hallelujah. And with that, I'll let that be. And even though I'm not even close to being finished, I don't think I've ever finished the sermon. I don't think so. Praise the Lord. Amen. There's always much more to say, but I believe we've heard enough to chew on so that we can continue to flourish. Amen? Praise God. Rise with me. I didn't hear that, but let's just rise with me. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Father, we give you praise for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you are our keeper. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You are our present help in the time of trouble. We live in a troubled world. Well, we thank you, Lord, oh God, that the peace that you give to us is not the peace that the world gives. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for grace, even the grace of the more than conquerors. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for all that you are doing. Thank you, Lord, for your benefits greatly impacting our lives right now. We give you praise. And as we go to this segment of anointing, let the anointing destroy yokes and remove burdens. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight I'm going to anoint you with oil. Psalm 28 and verse 7. Psalm 28, verse 7 and 8 say, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Because I trust in him, I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." And verse 8 says, "The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed." Amen. This morning, during the service, as I was coming close to the end of the service, the Lord spoke very clearly to me. He said, "Tonight is an anointing service. And I invited everyone to come to participate in the service." Obviously, not everyone is here. And it never ceases to amaze me how it is that people miss their opportunities. It's not like weren't told, but I'm certain of it. There are people that are going to call me tomorrow or sometime this week and tell me about all their troubles. But those troubles would have been averted if they have received the strength that comes through the anointing. When they're buckling under the weight of the issues that they're going through, they wonder, why, oh Lord? Well, did I say for you to be at the anointing service? Yeah. Why didn't you go? Well, I was busy. Okay. I was tired. Oh, okay. I had other plans. Oh, well, okay. The Bible's full of it. Invited. I got plans. I got to do this. I got to do that. Help yourself. But for those that are here tonight, I'm going to anoint you and trust the word of the Lord. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength. Defined, saving strength, deliverance strength of his anointed. Those of you that are at home, you're way out there in Timbuktu, you couldn't be here. Or maybe you're at work and you couldn't be there, right here. You're in Toronto, you're in wherever, India, Pakistan. You're in Nigeria. You're in Ghana. I don't know where you may be logging in from. You couldn't be here. I'm going to pray for you. You have a reason not to be here. I'm going to ask you to stretch your hand towards me. Want that camera to zoom in. Touch, Father. Anoint with your saving strength. Anoint. Help the helpless. Help, Father God, those that place their trust in you. Do damage to the kingdom of darkness. For your name's sake and for the benefit of your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, I release the anointing. Receive strength in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to log in or log off from those that are online at this point. The rest of you, just come and join the line.